Okay, good morning, everyone. It's like an exodus at the back there. It's like that moment, parents, isn't it, when you've played with your child all day, and then there comes that regretful, sad moment when they go to sleep, and they go to bed, and it's bedtime, and you just have to wait all night for them to wake up and do it all over again. So anyway, welcome, everybody. Welcome to our visitors. If you're here as friends and family of a baby that's been dedicated this morning, or even if you're just visiting. And also, I know that many of our students have gone on Easter holidays already, but there's a smattering left. We just want to say we miss you when you're gone, and have a great Easter, and we look forward to seeing you when you come back. Okay, let's have our first picture up there, please. So, baby dedication today. Just check if that's okay. So here they are, the little gallery of class of 2015. Izzy on the 1st of September, Bethan born on the 29th of October, and then the boys coming up behind on the 21st and the 29th of November. What a lovely little cluster. Now, it did occur to me, just as a little aside, that in January 2015, we kind of announced it was a year of sowing, and there was great adventure there in January, and we're pumping up the church about a year of sowing. In January, February, March, and then here in the autumn we have a cluster of babies. So well done for taking it so literally. That is really wonderful, and thank you for that. So young families, we love to have young families in the church. You're really welcome. We love the life and vigor of new life little people. I love the fact that they, from very early on, they have their own personalities, and you can see even in their little faces here the different personalities bursting out. And it's great to have these little ones growing up together within the church, but also to be part of church community together. I mean, with the community of the church, it's like these little ones have extended family. So as well as their family and friends, there's a whole extended family of people looking out for them, loving them, and it helps to build their confidence and make them feel secure and helps give them that real good start in life, especially when they toddle through the school gates for the first time. So this morning, I'm going to look a little bit at the meaning of the names of these little ones. And so we're going to start with the oldest, who is little Izzy, Isabella. Now, Isabella is actually the French form of the name Elizabeth, and it's a Hebrew name. But also, and I hope I get the pronunciation right, Isabella has other names as well. Her Urubu name is Olaho, which means blessing. Did I do that right? Well done. You did text me how to pronounce it, and I've been practicing all night. And Seren, which is a Welsh name meaning star. Isn't that beautiful? That's lovely. So it's nice to have all these names. Anyway, we're not going to do everyone's middle names. We'll be here all day. But that's very lovely and special. So Isabella, the French form of the name Elizabeth. We're going to look a little bit at what that name means. But before we do, we need to move to baby number two. Because Bethan is the Welsh form of Elizabeth. Isn't that amazing? I think that's a first. So thank you, guys. That's made it a lot easier. So Elizabeth is a very beautiful name. And Isabella and Bethan are the French and Welsh form of that name. And this is what it means. It's of a Hebrew origin. And literally it means, God is my oath, or God is my vow. And we can translate that as totally, wholeheartedly, and sincerely devoted to God. And when we've seen these little ones dedicated today, the act of dedication is saying, my desire, my hope as a parent is that one day, as I guide you and nurture you, that you will choose to be devoted to God for your life. Because it is something in the future that is the child's choice. But dedication today is the parent's intention that says, our hope, little one, is that your life will be one devoted to God. And Elizabeth can also mean, my God is abundance. Now, I love that because that just totally describes who God is. And the two meaning of the names together show this beautiful relationship that as we're devoted to God, we experience his abundance. God has abundance to give. And as we connect with God, we become devoted to him. And it's like this cycle going round of devotion and abundance. And God is a total resource for us. He wants to give us all his love, his kindness, to help us in life. And you know the famous psalm, Psalm 23. Well, part of it says this. You know the famous psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Down in verse 5, it says, my cup overflows. It's like when God is giving his grace and his love and his kindness to us, he doesn't just fill up a little measure, but it's overflowing. It overflows the cup. It's more than we need. It's more than enough for everything. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. How would we like a life like that? That my life and your life is one overflowing with his loving kindness following us. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's talking about when we embrace a relationship with God that carries on right through our life and through the veil of death into eternity as well, that we are with him forever. Now, I love the fact that God has this love and grace to give us in abundance. That is the God we serve, not a stingy God measuring it out, but a God of abundance. And Jesus once joked with the crowd that he was talking to. And with the crowd, he said to them, you imagine now that your son came to you and asked you for bread. So you've got a picture of this little boy or little girl with a plate, an empty plate, asking their dad for food. And he jokes with the crowd and says, hey, you imagine your little son, he asked for bread. Would you give him a stone? How cruel, how funny to do that and give him a stone that he can't eat. Or what if he asks for a fish? Would you put a snake or a scorpion on his plate? Of course not. And as the crowd enjoy the joke, Jesus says this, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, and you're just human and ordinary, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And that is the God that we serve, one wanting to give us good gifts. And God's gifts are ones of love and mercy and power and life-changing power. And here really he's also talking about the Holy Spirit, because we live a supernatural life, not just a physical life. And that's what we're watching out for with our little ones, that our little ones grow up. Their spirit is open to everything available here in our world, and we want to guide them and help them, that their spirit is alive to God and receive his protection and his mercy and his power in their life. And so this is a God of good gifts. And this kind of nicely brings us on to the boys. Now, the boys born in November, bringing up the tale there, Theo means gift of God. Isn't that amazing that God is a God who wants to give gifts to his children? And that's what the name means. What a beautiful name. And he is such a happy little chap. Now, occasionally when I'm doing some stuff, I text some of the parents for a picture. Can I have the picture today of your little one? They love to send pictures of their babies. And I must admit, occasionally, when a little picture of Theo comes through and he looks really cute, he looks like me when I just wake up. And I always feel this affinity. And so I love the name Theo, gift of God. He's a real little gift. And I think it's an improvement, Dewey, on Santi or Santiago, which was a favorite. But Theo is a good choice. And similarly, Joseph, the name Joseph is similar really to God's gift, because it's saying God will add. It's another gift from God. He will add. He will add to our family. He will complete our family. This is his intention. This is his child. This is his gift to you. And that's a really special name. And I think kind of sums up the situation there, with little Joseph coming in to the family and completing it. And so all four babies, to me, as I look at these names, I see how they're linked. Because it's all talking about the gifts from God and devoted to God. That God wants to give us gifts. And as we respond to his gifts, we discover a life of abundance. And as we are living in this life of abundance of his good gifts, it creates a greater devotion within us. And it's like this beautiful cycle going round. So well done, parents. You made my job really easy. Those little names that all slot together so well. But it also, these babies' names reminds me of an ancient story. That there is a story about people who showed radical devotion. Their devotion cost them. It was sacrificial. It was an adventure. These people were protectors of babies of destiny, babies who changed the world. And the first one is Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was a mother And she was barren. She couldn't have children. And this was a shame in her culture at the time. But a miracle happened where God gave her a child. And she had this little baby, and she was older, and there were risks with that. But she went with the flow, and she had this little baby, and he was a boy of destiny, and his name was John. And this miracle baby was the famous John the Baptist. And John was brave and fearless. He was radical. He was devoted to God, just like his mother, Elizabeth. And when John grew up, he went out to the Jordan River. And this is a beautiful picture here of the Jordan River. And crowds from Jerusalem would come. And Elizabeth, her role had been to raise John, to protect him, to invest in him, to encourage him, to build that courage in him, that he would never hold back. When she was pregnant with him, God had given them very specific instructions about how to raise him and the life that he would follow. And here is John now, released as a very young man down by the Jordan River with a radical message that the whole nation of Israel were waiting for the Messiah to come. They knew there was a promise. They knew there was a promise of somebody who would come from God to free his people. And they were waiting year after year after year. They were waiting. But now Jesus was on his way. He was coming. And it was John's role to go and prepare the people. And his message on the banks of the Jordan was, get ready, change is coming, truth is coming, the one is coming, the gift of God himself is coming. And people would go down into the river of Jordan there and be baptized, waiting. And John would say to them, I baptize you, but one greater than me is coming. And he prepared the way, and there was an excitement in the air for the one to come. And John was a man of purpose and destiny. And Elizabeth, the mother, her role was to raise and protect and release. And then the other person it reminds me of is Joseph. Now, Joseph, the father of Jesus, 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, her young relative, Mary, now Mary was just a young teenager at this time, and Elizabeth was older in years. And the Bible tells us they were related and they were cousins. And this cousins can be like first cousins or fourth cousins. But what we know is generations earlier, there was two brothers, Judah and Levi. And the girls came from these lines. And so they were cousins. They were related to one another. How amazing that within this family relationship, something goes on that Mary discovers that she is pregnant. And we know that Mary is visited by an angel and that she will carry Jesus. Now, this is where Joseph comes into the scene. Joseph was already engaged to marry Mary, and now he finds she's pregnant. And he has to take this huge risk of not only her reputation, but his own reputation, because this had never happened before. And who would believe it was true? Who would believe that Mary was pregnant from God and not by a neighbor down the road? And he took the risk, and he took it on, and he was a man of adventure and destiny and purpose. And God spoke to him in a dream, and he was radical in taking on Mary as his wife, even in this situation. He protected them, taking them all the way to Bethlehem for the census. He protected them there in that stable-type cave where he was protecting Jesus, the newborn, with the visitors, the shepherds crowding in with their animals and the magi from the east coming in and visiting. And there he was protecting. And then one night in that early stage, he had a dream that the baby was in danger and that he had to get up straight away and leave. And this father, Joseph, is amazing how he didn't think, well, it's the timing of the feeds, I better not go now. I better not wake Mary up. Oh, if you wake Mary up, boy, do you pay for it. I'll just wait for the morning. Oh, we just got the baby to sleep. Oh, I don't want to wake the baby now. But instead, this angel came to him and said, leave now because the baby is in danger. And it says straight away in the night, he got up and took his family. And he was the protector. He was an action hero of the Christmas story, and he took his family and he escaped. And within moments, the soldiers invaded that area, killing all the newborns aged 2 and under, because Herod did not want another king on the throne. And this man, Joseph, he responded to God. He listened to God. He took action on behalf of his family. He provided security. He was brave. Not my reputation, he said, but I will protect Jesus, the one who is coming to save his people. And some years later, these cousins, Jesus and John, meet down there in the Jordan where John baptizes Jesus. And God opens the heavens and says, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased." And a brand new adventure began that changed the world through two cousins, one preparing the way and one with a mission. And Joseph and Elizabeth in this story, Joseph as a father, Elizabeth as a mother, they have the role of stewarding God's gift. That these little ones were a gift to the world. What a huge and powerful responsibility. What potential under their care that they had to do this day in, day out. And parents, with your little world changes, this is their dedication today. And what is your role? Well, our role is to do the best we can with what we've got and with God's help. That like Elizabeth and Joseph, our role is to care and nurture and protect and guide and help our little ones to discover a God who loves them, who has a purpose for them, who wants them to live in abundance, who wants them to know his blessing on their life. They live in purpose and they discover him for themselves. Now one day, this beautiful act that you've done today of dedicating your children, one day they have to make their own choice. And I know many of the children in our church and the youth have made that choice early. They've seen the evidence of changed lives. And it's my prayer that your little ones will do that too. But your role is to guide them and help them best we can in our frailty with God's help to discover the love of Jesus for themselves. Now this reminds me of a place that Jesus liked to go. And Jesus went to this place called Bethany. And Bethany is just a mile and a half outside Jerusalem. It was an easy place to get to hang out with his friends. And I want you to imagine the sun going down, the sun is setting on the dusty road, and there's a little window, and through that open window you can hear the sound of laughter and friends talking, and you can smell the cooking, and you can hear the clatter of food being prepared. And here is Jesus with his friends. And throughout the Gospels we see Jesus hanging out with his friends. This was the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And probably Jesus' close friends, James and John and Peter, were there too. And they would talk and laugh and hang out and rest after a busy day healing the sick, fighting with the Pharisees, answering difficult questions, caring for people. And here he would come back and spend time. And this picture of Jesus the man is a picture of who God is. That God desires to have relationship with us. That's what it's all about. He created us to have relationship with him. He has these good gifts he wants to pour on our life. He is a God of love. He is not far away. He is a God who wants to invest in our lives and be part of it. He has a plan for us and a destiny. And he wants us to engage in that. Just like Jesus would hang out with his friends, God the Father is waiting and hoping, just like that name Joseph, to add to. He wants to add you to his family. He wants to add me to his family. He wants us to be family together with him as the Father and Jesus as our brother. And it is all about the relationship. And yet God's heart for relationship is like more than a friend, because God is one with power, and his power is there to forgive us. Do you ever feel like we've just messed up in life? Sometimes I feel my life is so busy, I want to put it on pause. I want to put the whole world on pause. Just let me catch up for a bit. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever wish you could go back and undo some mistakes? Well, Jesus comes into our life and forgives us for all the things we ever did wrong, the things we regret, the things we wish we could go back and do again, the things we feel guilty about, things that trouble us. And he comes with power to forgive us for everything we ever did and give us a place in eternity with him, but a power and a walk with him right now in our life, experiencing that abundance. He gives us a new start and a sense of purpose and a divine adventure. We are wrapped into his purposes. The other thing God gives us is a love like no other. Do you ever desire to be totally loved for just who you are, mistakes and all? Well, that is the love of the Father, that he loves us, he knows us. He doesn't say, you better clean up before you come and see me. He welcomes us just as we are, because it's his job to do the cleaning up, not ours. And he wants us to know what it is to be totally loved and totally free. Now one night, just an hour and a half, a mile and a half from Bethany, Jesus made that walk into Jerusalem. And just a little bit west from that beautiful place that he hung out with his friends, one day he hung on a tree. And the Romans came and they crucified him. And when Jesus died on that cross, which we celebrate next weekend on Easter Day, he died on the cross and paid a price, a terrible price, for all that we have done wrong, so that we could be reunited with the Father. And that ultimately is God's gift. That is his gift to us and to every child here and to every adult here, that it's an invitation that Jesus paid that price for each of us, that we could have a way back to God. And Matthew reminded me the other day about how at Easter, a little boy growing up, when we take them into the supermarket to buy an Easter egg, they would look at all the different Easter eggs and choose which one, a Mars egg or a Kit Kat egg or a different type of chocolate egg. And he said that he and his sisters always used to look at the cream egg. There was a big egg like this with the two little cream eggs. And he imagined in his child's mind that this big egg was filled with the gooey stuff like a cream egg. And every year he would think, I don't know if I could ask Mum for one of those. And one year he said, I think I'll have one of those. And he waited for Easter Day. And I used to hide the eggs around the house. And then when they found them and turned their back, I'd hide them again. And then they would find them again. And then if I couldn't resist it, I might hide them again. Dishwasher's a great place for hiding an egg. Anyway, so one day Matthew unwrapped this egg, imagining he would bite off the top into all the goo. And to his shock, it was empty. And the egg was just a chocolate shell. But of course, we know, why are Easter eggs empty? They're empty to talk about the empty tomb. That on Easter Day, when they went to the tomb, it was empty because Jesus rose again and is alive today to impact our lives, to walk with us in friendship all the days of our life. And that is why parents today have dedicated their little ones to Jesus, to say, it is my intention and my heart that you will know his abundance and know his love in your life, but they ultimately have to make the choice themselves. And that invitation is for each of us too, that we make our own choice. One day when we die and stand before God, we can't say, well, it was difficult and I was busy and I had work and I tried putting the world on pause, but it didn't work. But we give an answer for our own life. And I would encourage you, the God of love is inviting you and me to be part of his family forever. So parents, well done today in dedicating your little ones. We love them already. They're absolutely beautiful. And I'm going to pray a blessing on them as we close. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are a God of abundance, that you have so much for us, that you don't measure it out, but you pour it over, running over. And your love for each of us in this place, right down to the tiniest one, even down to the unborn ones in our midst here, that your love is great and it is amazing. And Lord, we want to live a life of devotion to you, that we know this is not just for the babies, but is for every one of us. That your heart of love is to reach out to us all, that we would be part of your family and we would be added in. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, next weekend as we celebrate what you did in going to the cross and coming back alive for us, that, Lord, we would just live with a fire in our hearts of what you have done. I pray, Lord, for your blessing on Izzy and Theo and Joseph and Bethan. We thank you for them and their dedication today. We pray, Lord, that they will rest in your love and your peace. They will know your kindness around them and that they will grow up to know your abundance and they too will grow up in devotion to you. In Jesus' name, amen.